Hey guys, my name is Miller Montgomery and welcome to the King Collective podcast, where I interview men making a massive difference in the world. These are kings of their kingdom. Listen in. Hey guys, it's Miller here and welcome to another episode on the King Collective. I'm here joined today with a friend, a brother, a mentor, who has really helped me with some of my learnings and growth over the last couple of years. And excited to speak to him today. He is a tantric coach, among other things, but does shadow work and a few other things that I'll let him explain in a second. But welcome, Amateus.
Thanks, Miller. Glad to be here in the collective.
So yeah, mate, maybe just start with what you do, the things that you kind of cover off in your coaching and your healing.
Yeah, so I'm co-founder of an organization called Being Human. So there we offer work in that's a wellness, working towards our personal evolution and working all the way through the layers of the personality to the very layers of the being. So it's a psycho-spiritual work that we start with personality and move all the way to the pure levels of spirit. And this is work that I also offer in a one-on-one style, in a form of coaching that, for me has done so much in my life, and I feel really, really blessed to be able to offer this to others.
Yeah, awesome. And so I know we've done work around tantra and also shadow work. My first question for you, I guess, is what is the shadow?
Well, the shadow is, it's a big question. Obviously, this term was coined by Carl Jung back in the day, and so it's mostly comes from his psychoanalytic theory, but has also evolved as it's gone along. Shadow really speaks to all of the parts of us that are not conscious, that are in the unconscious or in the subconscious part of our being, which is actually a huge percentage. I mean, the typical metaphor that's given is the iceberg, where 10% of it is seen above the waterline and therefore we're aware of and conscious, and 90% of our of what's actually going on inside of our psyche is unconscious. It's below the waterline. So the shadow is all of that. A lot of times people think that the shadow means the negative aspects of the being, and that certainly includes that. It's certainly inclusive of our dark, scary parts, of our anger, of our suppressed sexual desires, of our disowned wounding. And it also includes beautiful aspects. It includes our own connection with being. It includes our own power that we're not in touch with, that we have somehow lost and is disassociated. So ultimately, it's all the parts of our being that we're not aware of, often that we hide, repress, or deny.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I think it's a big maybe shift in thinking, because I guess we all kind of go along thinking that we have a bad side of us, and it's not the part that we want to kind of show to the world, but we kind of deep down on a level know that it's there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it kind of comes up and rears its head, and we think that that in itself is kind of the reason for the bad things happening. But I guess on some level it's happening on a much more unconscious level. And I know there was one time that we were working together and, there was a time where I was trying to fit a couch through a door and I was getting pretty frustrated and taking out my frustrations on, it was actually the mother of my kids at the time who was helping me. And as we were working through that, through the work that we were doing, it kind of obviously was coming up that it was a much deeper kind of childhood trauma that was that was happening, or that was the cause of it, I guess. So maybe if you can just talk through to the guys listening, you know, the connection between the superficial things that happen throughout our day that maybe frustrate us, and how that relates to the internal being inside.
Yeah, so that's a lot, actually. It's a big topic. The first thing that you mentioned is triggers, right? Mm. So in this case, it was the frustration that you had trying to move this couch, right? So that triggered something in you that at the time you're taking out on the people in your environment. So in this work, in this psycho-spiritual work, the shadow work, triggers are gold. The triggers that we experience are the place, the fertile ground for our exploration into ourselves, right? And when we then begin to explore into ourselves, what we discover is that we are very rarely living in the present moment and actually experiencing reality as it is. What we're mostly experiencing is our past. So you might have heard that it all comes back to childhood. You know, you might have said, you know, gone to a therapist and be like, I don't want to deal with my childhood stuff, my mom and my dad. Mm. From my own experience, it really does all come back to childhood.
Mm.
So something might happen when we're 2 years old that at the time doesn't feel like a big deal. You know, it might be something like, you know, we go running up to mom and she doesn't respond exactly the way that we want to, you know, and for her, she's busy, she's doing her thing, she's not able to be fully present. The two-year-old experiences that as a deep rejection. Mm-hmm. And doesn't have the logical framework, the mental understanding to understand that mom was busy, that she doesn't, it's not that she doesn't love me, it's just that she was busy with something else, right? They're so immediate in their experience. And so for the two-year-old, that's experienced as a big rejection, which then begins to be interpreted through their own lens of understanding. And often what happens is, mom rejected me because I'm not good enough. Mom rejected me because I'm not smart enough. Mom rejected me because I'm inherently flawed in some way. So something that might seem really small and insignificant to an outside view is actually a huge trauma for a little being. And this is in the best case scenario. In worst case scenarios, there are explicit traumas, right? With abuse, neglect, violence, these sorts of things that get really frozen into our psyche. Mm. And that pain, because it's not able to be metabolized by the young one's not able to actually experience that pain. So what they do is they subconsciously, all this is happening below, again, the level of conscious mind, it gets pushed somewhere and just kind of stored. You know, you've heard people talk about their baggage.
Mm.
Well, baggage starts really, really young. And so something like, you know, for your experience of the couch and not moving through the door and the frustration there, the way that you know it's a trigger is if it's out of proportion. That might be a frustrating situation, right? Like, okay, I'm trying to move. We've got a finite amount of time. But if it's a trigger beyond, like, you know, a 3 on a scale of 10, that's your clue that it's not actually about that moment. It's hearkening back to something else that's in the psyche. And what needs to happen then is to go back to those frozen traumas, relive them as our adult self, be able to hold space for that wounded child within, and let that metabolize through. That's the beginnings of it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and obviously that's there's a lot to kind of go through. It's a real journey, right? It's a real process to be able to kind of clean that stuff up in a sense, or at least kind of work through it and metabolize it, like you said. I think for me, knowing that my triggers are the, or coming to that realization that my triggers are the biggest areas of the, what was the word you used?
Triggers are gold. It's the fertile ground for self-exploration.
Right. I love that. Because it is so true, you know, and I think as men, a lot of time, like our default is like anger, get pissed off.
Yeah.
But then after we kind of sit on it for a little bit, or we kind of maybe can look back at it, and after that anger subsided, then we can hopefully look back and say like, oh, well, why did that happen? You know, what was the reason that I got so angry about that, that was out of proportion? And so let's say, for example, that happened with a guy and you were working with him. What would be the kind of the process that you would take him through?
Yeah, if we're working together, so I guess to say that to some extent this can be done on your own, and it's a good process of self-inquiry to ask yourself, why did that happen, and just be open to, you know, especially feeling the feelings that are around that. As men, so often we're cut off from our deeper sense of feeling, right? And all of this is stored in the body. So even just saying, why'd that happen? Closing my eyes and feeling, okay, there's anger there, and just sitting with the anger. Oh, there's a little touch of shame there. What's that about? And getting curious about it. That's a good process of beginning to do this work on your own. However, generally with the deeper triggers, the stronger triggers, it's difficult to do it on your own and to really hold it on your own. And so it's helpful to work with someone else that's going to guide through the process. And in that case, my role would be to hold space, create a sense of presence, deepen my own experience of presence, and lend that to the man that I'm working with, and invite him to experience that feeling in its totality. And then the shift that comes in that's really important is not just to be identified with the experience, but for him to bring in his own presence in relationship with that experience. To understand that that's an experience within him, but it's not him. He has a part that's angry. He has a part that feels frustrated. He is not anger. And this is a really important distinction. And the danger is to go too far, to again, disassociate and then become a kind of spiritual bypass. And this is what happens a lot in the conscious communities now. Oh, I'm not angry. I'm a being of light, you know? and it's really important that we feel the feelings. We feel that and we reclaim that, while at the same time not being drowned by it, not identifying with it. So my role is really to hold that space and to help him find that right place of balance where he's able to sit with it but not be overwhelmed by it, and not to disown it, but to really bring his own natural curiosity and compassion towards that. And the way that's done is just by asking questions. And it seems like a really simple process, and really profound, powerful stuff unfolds. The first question is always, what are you feeling in your physical body? What physical sensations are there? Right? So we might locate that feeling of anger in the belly or in the throat or in the chest. And then, okay, what emotions are there? Is it anger? Is it rage? Is it frustration? Getting really subtle, more refined understanding. And then along with that, memories may surface, images may surface. There might be knowings, like I have no memory of this, but I somehow know it's connected with my father. Things like this. And then we just explore that. We just ask questions with curiosity, following what unfolds, which leads into really amazing places.
It certainly does, and I can kind of attest to it. One point you touched on there was that, you know, you are not anger. You know, and I think sometimes as men, like, we can kind of build these identities of I've always been the joker, or the tough guy, or, you know, I've always just been an angry man who can't control that stuff. And it's like, it's one part.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not you, you know. I remember you telling me how we're all inherently divine.
Mm.
We all have that inherent worth of just being here.
Yeah.
And that was big for me, because I think before I hadn't really ever thought about it like that. And just that internal knowing of, just because you are here, you have worth, you are divine, you started from divinity, and the rest is just a part, right? It's a part that we can work through.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a really big thing, and this is why I call it, or it's called psycho-spiritual work. So we work through the psychology back to our pureness, you know, our divinity, our greatness of spirit. And the understanding is that when we're born, we are these pure beings, right? We are just pure consciousness. Unaware, there's no self-awareness, right? We just are this pure being. And in some spiritual traditions, that's the goal, is to get back to that pure being, right? And in the psycho-spiritual work, the goal is to come back to being, but fully conscious. And with that is the recognition that I have a lot of layers of identification, right? I am angry. I am good. I am worthless. I am strong. I am weak. You know, there are so many ways that we identify, that we believe that we are something. And on one level of reality, that's true. The deeper reality is that we are pure being. We are essential. We are essence. And this work helps us to just get those parts to give a little bit of space. And by creating that little bit of spaciousness, our own natural essence begins to come forward, and it creates a lot of integrity in the system. There's so many inner conflicts that are inherent in the way that we grow up, in partly just being human and partly in our modern culture. And the more that we work with these parts, we learn that we are not our parts. And at the same time, we get really curious about our parts, and we really embrace them, and we bring them into the system. The more that it creates a really powerful sense of inner spaciousness. One thing that's really important in this work is the recognition that every part is welcome. And one of the things that is very common, especially in men, is for us to really push down certain parts, right? So we might have, a rage part. And something in my own experience and the experience of many men I've worked with is they've actually are afraid of their own anger. So they push away their anger, right? But anger, it can cause negative consequences. It can hurt ourselves or those that we love. But almost invariably, when we work with this part in this way and we hold it with presence and we ask the anger, "What are you doing for me?" Almost always it's about setting boundaries, protecting some weak part of ourselves, some part of ourselves that's wounded, that's hurt. Or it's about connecting us with our authentic power. And when we push it away, we either continually re-traumatize ourselves or we disown our own power. And so this is one example of how every part is welcome. We meet them, we work with them, we learn what they, what wisdom they have, and then we incorporate that into the whole. It doesn't mean we give them permission to be angry, but we offer gratitude to what the anger is trying to do, and eventually by being held in this way, the anger itself shifts into a cleaner form of that energy.
Yeah, and I remember when we worked together, when you said to me, you know, every part of you that's in there, in that whole, you know, I guess flurry of things that are going on, it's trying to help you.
Mm.
It's doing something for you. And it's not until you go searching for that and you give it the space and the presence to explain itself or to show you whatever it needs to show you, then you can work through it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think sometimes, you know, we can get into real inner conflicts where it's like this part of me is going in this direction and this part's going in that direction and I just don't know who I am or where I'm going.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, just that shift of understanding of every part is trying to do help you for some part was a very big thing for me.
Yeah, to continue with the example of anger, it's really common for men especially to have the anger that we learn at an early age is not safe. You know, maybe our mother tells us it's not okay, or we learn from school that it's not okay to be angry. So we then have a manager part that steps on top to make sure that we don't get angry, right? Mm. So we have the anger that's trying to help us set our boundaries, trying to connect us with our own autonomy, trying to connect us with our power in some way. Mm. And then we have this part that's watching it and is really vigilant within our system. And anytime there's a little bit of anger, it pushes it down. And then maybe there's a part that works in tandem with that, that is the inner critic that says, you're bad, you're wrong, something like that. And then we maybe come in with a self-love practice because we recognize that there's inner conflict. So then we put self-love on top of that. And then there's a voice that says, this is bullshit. And that comes in on top of that. So now we've got six layers of things that's all based on repressing that anger.
Mm.
Whereas if we invite that in and we say, there's space for you to be here, rather than repressing it, we welcome it in a contained space. And the analogy that's perfect for this is if, you know, I know your audience is all fathers, right?
Mm.
So if one of your kids, let's say, you know, a four-year-old kid is angry, do you stop loving your kid? No. Like, you can say, I understand that you're angry. Like, it's okay to be angry. Mm. It's not okay to act in certain ways. Certain behaviors are not acceptable, but all emotions are welcome. Mm. But do we do the same things for ourselves? And generally the answer is no.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great analogy. And another thing I wanted to talk about was a big thing that I took away from us working together was that you can give all of the healing that you may need to yourself.
Mm.
For a lot of the time, maybe you think, maybe you did have a bad childhood and, you know, your parents weren't there. Maybe you have a grudge against them or a particular person because of what they did or someone who did something bad to you. And, you know, there's something there that, you know, you can't move past. That healing can all be done within yourself and it isn't necessary to engage those other people. Yeah, do you want to just talk about that? Because that was a big thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, the true healing happens when we come into connection with our own essence.
Mm.
And so to continue this metaphor that we've drawn on with the anger, underneath that anger is going to be a part that's wounded in some way. Maybe it doesn't feel good enough or doesn't feel loved or whatever it is. And that part is going to be looking towards external validation, for external looking towards our partners or, you know, our parents or children to receive the love that it doesn't have or the sense of worth that it doesn't have. And the real healing happens when we're able to really see our own parts and offer them that love or sense of worth that they that they're searching for, which means that all the potential for healing happens within.
Mm.
And one of the things that I love about my role is that I'm not healing people. I'm not fixing people. I'm holding space for people's own inherent healedness to come forward. Mm. And that's the ultimate goal of the work taken to its fullness, is to be in a place of self-recognition, self-holding in every experience, in every moment of the day, mm. and not needing anything from the external, whether that's love or validation or to be healed. Each of us, our birthright is fullness. We just need to come back to that.
Mm. And is that that not needing the external world and kind of doing it on your own? I don't know if this is right, but is that being more aligned to your masculine? Or is that a different language?
Interesting. Yeah. When we speak to that type of tantric polarity understanding, we're actually talking about getting back to we're talking about coming back to essence, which transcends masculine or feminine.
Okay.
Right? We have both masculine and feminine within us, right? But there are definitely qualities of the masculine that are really important in this process. You know, first of all, the gift of the divine masculine is presence or consciousness, which this journey is impossible without. That that's the, you know, the first necessary component. And then the next necessary component is compassion, which is a gift of the feminine, right? So you have both the divine masculine and the divine feminine working together to create these conditions. The qualities of the masculine that are really benefited from this work is that sense of independence, self-reliance, confidence, and resting in one's own capacity. You know, so the king, warrior, lover, magician work, is that something so this is a perfect way of understanding like these archetypes, right? That the sovereign energy is really, you know, that energy of holding all of these different aspects in a really balanced way, which is a masculine strength, but also includes access to one's own feminine strength.
Okay, so it's, you can't have one without the other, essentially. Okay, cool.
The deeper we go in connection with our masculine, we need to bring our feminine along with it, you know, in relation to ourself. Now, in relation to the world around us, we might show up in a predominantly masculine way or a predominantly feminine way. And that can be in a case-by-case basis. That can be an overall experience. But in our relationship with ourself, to really get back to essence, we need to be empowered in both the masculine and feminine qualities and actually come to the place of transcending.
Okay.
Transcending them.
Okay, cool. Awesome, mate. And with being human, what's some of the things that you're doing there, and how can people kind of find that?
Yeah. So Being Human is right now based in Melbourne. We are offering three paths of study. The first that's going on currently is the path of relationships. So it's about relationship as a path of healing, relationship as a spiritual path, empowering you in your relationship, and also how relationship empowers you in your own connection with self. Starting in June, we'll be doing the path of self-inquiry, and then in September, the path of erotic healing. All of these have a format of three evening workshops leading up to a weekend intensive. And we're also offering a working group. So this is a group space where we can get together, do this process in a facilitated, safe, trusting container where we're witnessed by others, which is a really powerful part of the work. Mm. Again, ultimately, it's coming back to that place of self-recognition where it's entirely incumbent upon us to see and own our own divinity. But incredibly important along that path is to be seen and witnessed by others in both our fragility and our divinity. Mm. And so the working group is a powerful space for that transformation. And then I also offer one-on-one sessions that can be done in person or online to go really deep into this work in a very held way.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I can definitely say that it's been very transformational for me. Mm. It's been great work. And yeah, definitely jump on board and check it out. So it's on Facebook, Being Human.
Yep, Being Human on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, learning all these other social media. And the website is be-inghuman.com.
Beautiful stuff. Well, thanks for jumping on here, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Millie.
Cheers, mate.